Todd Bowles, I know you listen to this podcast. You say it's a blast. You like it. You might not start listening after this one. Watch every Bucks road game with me at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton. I got sage wisdom, but I'm not Mr. Wizard over here. That's disturbing.
All right, Ira, we're looking for the Bucks to add some veteran cornerback help, maybe some veteran pass rush help. How about a 14-year veteran of the insurance industry, Ira? That is Josh Martin, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. He was an insurance adjuster for 14 years. He knows the game inside and out. When you have a disaster in your home, you're not just getting help fixing it. You're getting Josh's expertise and his company's expertise, Florida's Elite Restoration, in navigating the insurance company process so you don't get ripped off, so you don't get bad advice. It's so important, Ira, because when you get that flood in your home, or you get that roof damage, or you have mold and it's significant, you need someone who knows what to do, and they're there for you 24/7 at Florida'sElitereStoration.com. I know you're buddies with Josh, Ira. People think we just say that, but you are.
I am, and you know, Steve, it's so important that Josh has that background in the insurance industry, and he knows the business of insurance. And Steve, it is a business, and that I think separates Josh Martin and Florida's Elite Restoration from the rest, along with his excellent staff, and they have a reputation for honesty. So Florida's Elite Restoration, that should be your first phone call.
There you go. And if you really have a problem, you can also call Ira 24/7. He won't pick up, but he'll try to help you.
I'm not talking about benching him. I'm talking about lighting a fire under his butt.
Buccaneers fans, it's a somber day at the Ira Kaufman podcast. Yes, Ira is still with us. Don't worry. He's not that old. But the Buccaneers' 10-game winning streak is over. We're talking about a loss for the first time since last November. Hard to believe. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, and all his other names. He's Ira Kaufman, the King of Newport Richie, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira drives a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, but you can drive all kinds of vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you personally. It's not a joke. He's Ira's friend. He's our friend here at JoeBucksFan.com. He's a friend to Bucks fans. He's a friend to the Tampa community because Bill Curry Ford does such incredible charity work in the community. 61 years, Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Sean is ready for you. Just hit him up on the website or in the dealership. He wants to help you. Any question you have, he will help you. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the Buccaneers, they lost. They lost to a team that looked better. And what I like to do, Ira, for most of these post-game podcasts is to clear the floor and let you rant on about what you think fans need to know. Now that you've heard from Bruce Arians and you've watched the game, maybe you've watched some more of the game, you've listened, you've let it absorb, you wrote your column at JoeBucksFan.com, and then we'll get into this because there's a lot to talk about. And I also want to welcome all our new listeners because you know there'll be a few looky-loos from New England this week trying to soak up everything Brady since they're so obsessed with this game. Everybody can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever, Podbean, and the Sage is the ultimate leader as he dominates on Podcast Addict and all these platforms. Ira, the floor is yours.
All right, I'm going to let it flow, Steve, but I'm not going to drone on because Mr. DeKemper, who's an astute observer of all things Bucks, has a few chosen things to say. But I'll go with this, Lee, to set you up. I'm disappointed, but I'm not despondent. My biggest takeaway, Lee, from Sunday afternoon was how good the Rams played. I don't think the Bucks were terrible. I thought the Bucks would give them their A game because I thought they would take the Rams very seriously. And I don't think that I was wrong. I think the Bucks were psyched up for the game, but they were outplayed by a significant margin. Lee, and I got to give the Rams the bulk of the credit rather than the Bucks the bulk of the blame. The Bucks Bucks had no giveaways, which is always the key going on the road. Penalties were manageable. Brady had a good game. The protection was good for the most part when you're playing against Aaron Donald. Lee, the defense was lousy. There's no question about it. But the Rams played an outstanding game. Sean McVay, the hell of a coach. He's got an outstanding record. He's already been to a Super Bowl. They may get to another one this year. Maybe. JPP swears the Bucks are going to see the Rams again. Perhaps. But I'm not despondent, Lee. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that are coming up for the Bucks in the next 6 weeks. I mean, it's Patsy Heaven over there. It's rookies, you know, guys who aren't established. Lee, they just played Prescott, Matt Ryan, you know, and Matt Stafford. I mean, these guys are veterans, good quarterbacks. I think the ones that are coming up are very manageable, even for a Buck defense that we're a little concerned about. And Lee, I don't know if you were in on Arian's Zoom call. I asked him specifically about Brady throwing too many balls. Where's Shaq Barrett? I think I might have struck a nerve with Barrett. You didn't defend him?
No.
And he's basically saying that he's yet to appear. Now, Lee, the guy is a highly paid pass rusher. The Bucks showed him a lot of love, Lee, and I don't see the return. It's early. But, Lee, I've been watching Shaq Barrett, and I'm not happy with what I'm seeing.
First off, Brady's throwing too much? There is no such thing. He ought to throw more. And the stats back me up on that, by the way. And not to mention your running back for 2 yards to carry. That ticks me off a hell of a lot more than Shaq Barrett. I can't come out and say Shaq's tanking it. And this is just a pattern that we saw last year. When JPP's not out there, Shaq vanishes. He struggles with triple team. He struggles with some double team. Get him all that money, does well.
And he's not a $20 million pass rusher, if that's the case.
Well, right now, I don't care what he's getting paid. He's on the team. He's on the field. I want him to succeed. What he's getting paid is irrelevant right now. Offseason, we can revisit that. So that's my big takeaways. I mean, the Bucs didn't look great, but you consider what Todd Bowles had at defense. If you play Mike Smith's defense, which is no coverage and no pass rush, they'll make any quarterback look good. So I don't want to fall in that trap. Unless you're starting to get a pass rush, or unless D. Delaney and Ross Cockrell all of a sudden become great. I know Arians talked them up. I'm not going there yet. But unless they start getting better coverage and start getting a pass rush, I don't care who's the quarterback. They're going to do some damage. My God, I'm almost to the point where I hope the Bucs don't even throw it or don't even run the damn ball once. They're going to average 2 yards carry. Behind this offensive line, 2 yards carry, you could fall forward and get 2 yards of carry with this offensive line. And the way this offense hums passing the ball, I just don't understand why anybody would want to try to run the ball.
If Brady throws 800 passes this year, 800, not 600, 800. I don't think he's going to survive till week 17. I think that's way too much. Lee, they're giving up on the run too early. I mean, they haven't been behind all freaking season. You know, the first two games, not at all. Yesterday, it's 14-7 at the half. They're in the game throughout the first half. Let these guys run a little bit. The play action, Steve's not going to work if you got no credible ground game.
I think it's pretty clear. They don't have a credible ground game. I'm huge on getting the ball to your best players. I'm huge on letting your team be carried by these best players. The Bucs have some of the best players that ever played this game. And every snap, that ball doesn't get targeted to one of those guys. To me, that's a wasted snap. That's fighting with one arm tied behind your back. And I dare say that's losing football. I don't understand why scrubs and guys who can't produce should be getting the ball more when the guys who have proven that they can produce and proven they can win for you should get it less. I just don't get that. As the famous Hyman Roth once said, this is the business we've chosen.
Lee, you calling Fournette and Rojo bumps? I mean, all of a sudden,
What have they done since the playoffs? With that offensive line, are you kidding me? 2 yards of carry?
Why is the line blameless?
Well, I would say Leftwich. Run up the guy. If a drunk in a bar knows they're going to run up the guy, what the hell are you thinking if all linebackers are expecting?
Hey, Hey, Steve, you know, one more point to what Lee's saying. But all the throwing and all the throwing and all the weapons, Steve, they had 17 points yesterday until the garbage touchdown at the end. 17 points. In today's NFL, that's not good enough.
Sage, a couple of things that you want me to go after, give my take on Shaq Barrett first, or you want me to give my Ira impression?
Do it in alphabetical order, Isbitz. Alphabetical order.
All right. Well, Barrett comes before Ira, so I'll go there. I'm not quite sure what Bruce Arians was inferring here, because let's be realistic here. Against the Falcons, Shaq had a strip sack that was taken away on a bad call that everybody saw that was a bad call. So I can't just pretend that didn't happen. He also had an interception. Without that bad call, Shaq may have been defensive player of the week in the NFL with a strip sack and an interception. So I don't know where that exactly comes from. And he played pretty well in the first game and had a sack. So
yeah.
The other day, yesterday, he was awful. He was awful. I mean, the film shows that I'm just lost. He was lost at some times. I don't really understand why, but I can't really blast Shaq's season. But, of course, they want more production. But I'll say this. Here's my Ira impression, Ira. You said that Bucks played pretty well. They weren't great. They weren't terrible. But they were okay, pretty good, and the Rams were just better. Here's my Ira impression. Special teams, lousy. Defense, horrible. Running game, miserable. That's the reality, Ira. So I'm sorry. This Bucks team did not play well. Special teams, brutal. Bradley Pinion, you know, messing up punts, Jalen Darden offering nothing, Ryan Succop misses a field goal, albeit beyond his range maybe a little bit, and his extra points make me nervous now. The defense, we saw what the defense gave, and the running attack, I can't say they played well, Ira. I can't go there.
I didn't say they played well. I said I expected their A game. I didn't get it. I said I didn't get it. But they weren't terrible. They weren't terrible. And they weren't sloppy. They were outplayed. They were outplayed significantly. All right, next, Steve. Next.
All right, Sage. All right, Sage. And, of course, you're never outplayed. You're never off your game when you drink Big Storm beer. And we love all the fans hitting us up on Twitter, talking about Big Storm, referencing Big Storm, sending pictures of them drinking beer at their tailgates, at their house. Fun stuff. Big Storm beer is Florida's very best craft beer. Ira, what did you drink on Sunday when you were at Big Storm Beer watching the Bucks on the road there in Clearwater at the flagship location?
A nice sunny Brumosa, gentlemen. Nice sunny Brumosa. And Rock Riley was with me. He made a cardinal mistake, the Kemper. Cardinal mistake. Ordered a burger with fries. Must have got about 25 fries on the table. He ate about 11 of them. Every time he looked to the screen to see what the hell Brady was doing, I reached over, and it was easy pickings, Lee. Easy pickings.
That's the Sage for you. Sage was giving out $10 gift cards to fans, and he will be back Sunday. Big Storm, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Of course, Bucks, Patriots, we'll talk a lot more about that on the next podcast, but it's always fun at Big Storm. Tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, as we mentioned, Amway Center in Orlando. You can follow them on Facebook at the Orlando location. Very cool pictures, and get a better feel for the location out there and in Cape Coral. Guys, I have an important question because I just don't understand. Lee, it needs your wisdom. Ira, it needs your sage wisdom as well. I'm completely flummoxed because I don't believe any of this is a coincidence. It's a problem I see it as, and I don't know what's going on here. I talked about this last year, and I didn't get it, and the year before a little bit, but now here we are when nothing makes sense. Vita Vea, Ira, 34 snaps on defense. That's 52%. 34 snaps. It wasn't hot in Los Angeles. Kickoff was around 67 degrees. He's in good shape, we're told. He looks healthy. Arians essentially talks about him as their best and most impactful pass rusher and player on defense right now, but he's playing half the snaps. That's one less than Ndamukong Suh. So, and Sue's snaps have been cut from last year. So I don't get it, Ira. Aaron Donald's out there. He's 30 years old. He's playing 60 snaps. Of Suh and Vea combined for 67. These are supposed to be your best players who you get on the field. And just to finish it off, guys, Vita Vea, 54 snaps in week one, 42 snaps in week two, 33 snaps yesterday. Ira, I need some guidance because I don't know what the hell's going on.
I got sage wisdom, but I'm not Mr. Wizard over here. Lee, that doesn't make any sense. And Todd Bowles, I know you listen to this podcast. You say it's a blast. You like it. You might not start listening after this one because, Todd, you've had a rough 3 weeks. You've had a rough 3 weeks. Lee, the little pass rush the Bucs have generated through three games has primarily been courtesy of Vita Vea. If he's not getting it, he's helping somebody else. And so the guy's playing 33 snaps. Another point, Lee, I made it in my column. I stumbled upon it. Lee, half the points they've given up this season, half, have come in the third quarter after intermission when teams are making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
That's disturbing, Lee. That's disturbing. Other teams are making adjustments, and it seems like the Bucs aren't. That's a problem. I haven't lost confidence in Bowles. You know, he proved last year and in years past. In Arizona with Arians, that he's one of the brighter defensive minds in this league. But Lee hasn't distinguished himself through 3 weeks. He just hasn't. And he hasn't been able to generate a pass rush. And Lee, you can't tell me that the struggles of this defense can all be pinned on little Sean Murphy Puckett. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's just nuts. Other teams go down, have guys go down that are more significant than Murphy Bunting. And they carry on. I mean, come on. I'm much more frustrated with the lack of pressure than I am with the coverage in the secondary. The coverage in the secondary will take care of itself, whether it's Cockrell or whoever's out there, if they can put the quarterback under a little bit of heat. And I don't see it, Lee. I don't see it. Devin White, they're using him as a blitzer. Lee, he's not effective this year. For whatever reason, he hasn't gotten there. And by the way, Arians, without saying it, he alluded to it, his pass coverage has not improved. Has not. And we knew that was the last link for Devin White to ascend to all-pro status. I don't think it's happened yet. Long way to go. But Lee, this pass rush has to be straightened out, Lee. It's not just the sacks, Lee, it's the pressures. It's the hits, and I don't see it. And Shaq's a big part of it. I'm not talking about benching him. I'm talking about lighting a fire under his butt. You got Mac Jones this week, Lee. There aren't going to be any excuses for this Buck defense not to perform.
Give me a lot to chew on here. First, I'll say this about Bowles, and I have faith that Bowles will figure it out. He figured it out 2 years ago. They had a terrible pass defense, and before the season ended, they're playing damn good ball. Last year, we saw what happened in December, specifically in January and February. Dynamite. Absolute dynamite. I have faith that Bowles will figure it out. I really do. Pass rush, we kind of talked about already with Shaq. I'm not even nowhere near close to thinking Shaq ought to be benched. No way. I'm like Steve. He had a nice game against the Cowboys. He had an okay, if not a good game in Atlanta. He was invisible yesterday. We went over that. JPP wasn't out there. That's just a pattern with Shaq. Why that is, I don't know specifically, but it is. So it didn't surprise me that Shaq went AWOL yesterday. Vita Vea, this is just an educated guess. I've got to remember, these guys are you know, all in on sports science. The players wear vests. They have sensors on them. They know when they're starting to tire out. They know everything about these players. They're like Apollo astronauts. When guys sneeze, they can tell why. Similar concept here. Maybe, again, just a guess, maybe those sensors, the data they're getting from the sensors is that if he's out there more than 50 snaps a game, his play levels drops off significantly. So maybe they have to have him on a pitch count for that reason. But that's just an educated guess. Remember last year in the playoffs, even though he was back and supposedly healthy, he wasn't playing, you know, a full game, and he was dynamite in the playoffs.
Steve, you can put all the sensors on Vita Vea you want. That's a big game. It's an NFC game against a team that you might be vying for with seeding if all goes well. It's a big game. He didn't get 50 snaps Steve. He didn't get close to 50 snaps. That's a red herring right there, DeKuyper. He didn't get 50. That was a big game. I didn't see Vita Vea out there. I want to see more of him. You want to play him 35 snaps? You do that against the New England Patriots. You don't do it against Matt Stafford.
I'm with you, Ira. I'm just thinking about what it would be like if we had sensors on you as you go through your day, you know, picking up a coffee, having a bagel, going to Publix. It would be fascinating. We could all track it on our iPhones.
I'm waiting for you to send me a text. Kaufman, you're writing too much. Cut back. Cut back. We'll pay you the same amount. Cut back a little bit. I'm waiting.
All right, Ira, simple question for you. Simple question. Don't complicate it, Ira. Simple question, but of course we want your sage answer. If you're Jason Light right now, and when, of course, we heard Bruce Arians mention that they'd be talking about getting cornerback help on the way home. We don't know what's the real situation with Jamel Dean. He left with his left knee wrapped, and they don't have any answer yet. It sounds like it might not be good. But the question is, Ira, if you got only a little bit of money to spend like the Bucs have, you know, and of course they can make a trade. Do you go after pass rush help or you go after a corner?
I might want both, Steve, at this point. I might want both. I'm not talking about going out and getting Xavier Howard or somebody or somebody that's going to cost you, an arm and a leg. And by the way, Lee, I'm going to direct this to some of these nutty Buck fans. And, you know, some of them are crazy. And they're putting together these crazy packages. And they want to get one of the league's better cornerbacks and put O.J. Howard, you know, in some kind of a package with Kevin Minter. I mean, come on, Lee. What's going on?
I think Ira, you might agree with me when I say this. O.J. Howard is untradeable right now.
No trade value, Lee. No trade.
No, they would. The Bucks would have to sweeten a pot with like a third or a second round draft pick to unload him.
You know, but Steve, simple answer to your question. I will harken back to something that Mr. DeKuyper said many times in the last year and a half. And I can't argue with Lee when he says it. Uh-oh. Whatever it takes for the next year or two, whatever it takes. Lee's right. We don't know about life beyond Brady. I'm on record saying the heir apparent is not on the roster. I'm sticking with it. And yes, that means you, Mr. Trask. We don't know what this franchise is going to be like. Well, they can slide, very easily slide back into irrelevancy.
Without Brady, sure.
The post-Brady era. So I'm with Lee on this one, Steve. You got to give up a number three, you know, a third-round pick. You got to throw a Cameron Braid in. You do what you got to do, Steve. But you're all in. And when you're all in, that is what drives your thinking from the front office.
Ira, what do you think of this? If they don't do something to address the defense, whether it's a corner, whether it's a pass rusher, as Steve suggested, whether it's both, as you suggested, if they don't address the defense, and probably they don't address it soon, all this work that Light did to bring everybody back, all the Glazer loot that they spent to bring everybody back, it's going to blow up in smoke if they don't do something to address the defense.
You're right, Lee, because let's look at JPP. Steve, they don't have a target date for JPP to return. Arians kind of indicated it's very doubtful he would play in Foxborough, and he doesn't really know beyond that. Lee, they're talking about giving rest and we'll take another look at it. Lee, when they take another look at it, they may well decide you need surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
So, look, they don't need much on offense, if anything. What do they need? I mean, you're going to go out and you're going to get a running back? No, I don't think so. So, you're set on the offensive line. It's all about defense right now. They don't have to be first in the league. They don't. They got Brady. But they can't be the sieve that they've been for much of the first 3 weeks. Really disappointed with this defense right now. Lee, they couldn't get off the field. 10 of 15 on third down. Steve, for the season, over 50% conversion rate against the Bucs. That's not championship football, Steven.
Ira, you brought up something that's very interesting to me. When you, I read your column, you know, Sunday night, and there were two things that jumped out at me. One of them was the Bucks had more penalty yards than rushing yards. I'm going to assert, look, I haven't done any research on that. Initially, I thought that's horrible. And the more I thought about it, well, we're in a passing league. I'm not so sure that's very rare anymore. But at face value, it looked terrible. But the more I thought about it, I didn't know if that's how uncommon that is any longer. But the thing about the third downs, I agree with you. That's bad. And just out of curiosity, last night I wrote about this in a story this morning. I cursory research. I didn't do a deep dive. Just cursory research. I pulled up the top or the worst teams in the league for a third down conversion on defense. Here's some of the teams that are 25th or worse. Bucks, Kansas City, Cleveland, and the two Los Angeles teams. Add all up these teams I'm mentioning, you add up their records, they're 12-6. Even though their third down, their defensive third down percentage is pathetic.
Interesting. Interesting.
Ira, fun fact, the Buccaneers led the NFL in third down defense in 2016, which led everybody all over the place seemingly to say Mike Smith was the most critical rehire for the 2017 season, and they got it done. The biggest free agent signing was bringing Mike Smith back and not letting him get a head coaching job. Go ahead, Ira.
Lee's making some interesting points. Like, first of all, with the running game. You know, if you don't have Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, the Browns run the ball very well. The Titans run the ball very well. But, Lee, there aren't a lot of teams like that. I mean, everybody is bombs away. I mean, everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you look at like the completion percentages, you know, on defense, there's like eight teams that are giving up like close to 70% completions. I wow. mean, it's like they used to say when you go back to throw a pass, you know, two out of three bad things can happen. You know, the three things can happen, two of them are bad. Steve, this game's totally turned around. The game of football is totally turned around. And Lee makes a point. Why run it all? Why run it all? I mean, it's being put to the test right now. It really is. Because of the rules, Lee, how good these quarterbacks are. You know, if you're going to complete 70% of your passes and you don't have Derrick Henry, you know, what the hell?
Well, I got to be honest and fair here. Not that I'm not ever honest, but I got to be fair here. The reason why I say that about the Bucs is because, once again, they have just unbelievable riches of talent in receivers and tight ends. And they're not getting any production off the running game. So I'm like, you know, if they only try 10 runs a game, I'm okay with that. But I see where you're saying that it makes a play action pretty much, you know, no one's going to buy a play action. No one's going right. to bite in the fake. But the way this team throws the ball, holy cow, I'd sure be tempted to just Tom, pretend you're in the backyard, you're playing flag football. Let's go.
Steve, one more point, Steve, on the third down defense. I'm sure you've watched the film a couple of times, Steven. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but of those 15 third down situations for the Rams, I would say quite a few of them were third and longs, Steve. They weren't third and ones or twos, and that's more disconcerting from a Buck defensive standpoint, Steve.
Yeah, look, the defense was lousy, you know, and you know, you guys were talking about addressing the defense. To me, Ira, I would leave it alone unless they can go bold. You know, you have to be able to be willing to go all in for a player that can really make an impact, because I don't doubt the Bucks will bounce back and that Bowles will make some proper adjustments and the teams will get easier and all that stuff. But if you're going to address it, if you're actually going to do it, go bold. I'm not against giving up a draft pick. I'm not against giving up a weapon in the receiving game. You have to go bold if you're going to get after it. But we'll see. I think they're going to stay patient. I mean, they are just coming off a 10-game winning streak. Nobody wins them all, Ira. And it seems like Tom Brady's a San Francisco Giants fan, because on his podcast tonight, he mentioned that, hey, the Giants just won 100 games, won their 100th game, and hey, that means they lost 50 or 60. So calm down. That's part of professional sports. But anyway, let me mention this, Ira, because I think it's important. The red zone offense, I thought it was pretty telling when they're in the red zone, they want to run the ball, and they turn and give it to Chris Godwin, and he pounds in a touchdown. I mean, that, I think thought that said a lot about the running backs, the way they were looking, the way they were interested in, you know, maybe they gave up on building these guys' confidence. And I have to credit Leftwich on that play call, very smart call. And Godwin's a hell of a physical runner, and he took a good hit and got in the end zone. But also wanted to mention Godwin in general, Ira, because he's leading the team in receptions, 19 catches, 241 yards, couple of touchdowns. He's caught 76% of the balls coming his way. And based on what I'm seeing, the guy's always open. I mean, he's legitimately on a Pro Bowl path this year, and I was curious your thoughts.
He's a heck of a player. It has to be noted, he has yet to be considered the number one receiver on his football team. And with that comes a lot of responsibility, Lee. And by the way, Mike Evans played very well. We should mention that. It wasn't like Mike Evans was a bum. You know, we all love Godwin. Lee, I think I'm the first guy that ever compared him to Hines Ward, who I think is a borderline Hall of Famer. I think I would vote for Hines Ward because I think his value goes beyond the stats. And his stats are very good. And I think Godwin is the same case. But Lee, if Godwin went to another team and he's the clear-cut number one, maybe things would be different. We don't know. He could probably handle it, but we don't know. But we do know Mike Evans gets the special attention, Lee. He does. He always has since 2014. Nothing's changed that. But Godwin's a heck of a player. Lee, one more point about the running backs, and it was interesting that Steve pointed that out, that they gave the ball to Godwin in the red zone. Lee, 9 carries between Fournette and Jones. Lee, I agree. Production has not been good, to put it mildly. Has not. But Lee, they had 70-something snaps. Not 55. They had 72, maybe. And Lee, 9 carries between them, 72 snaps. Is that enough of a sample size, Lee, to say they're not getting the job done?
Well, I think 2 yards a carry speaks volumes. But also, you know, they had to throw the ball. They were behind. If they didn't throw the ball, they probably would have got blown out. And number one, they had to throw the ball to keep up. Number two, they're throwing the ball so darn well. So I can't nitpick about, you didn't give the ball to Fournette enough, so therefore he only had 2 yards average. I can't fault that at all. They didn't have much of a choice unless they were going to throw in the towel in the third quarter. They had to throw the ball. And they were doing so well. It's not like, oh, we got to throw the ball and hope we can, you know, complete a pass. No, they were doing well at the pass. So you didn't see me crying when they were throwing the ball and marching down the field. I wasn't crying.
Ira, nobody's crying if they go to BillCurryFord.com. You can still get 0% financing 72 months on a 2021 F-150, but there's so much great inventory there. If you're looking for a vehicle, start at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you know, Bucks are 2-1, and there's a lot of good teams around the league. With things were really shaken up the other day. The Saints came back and won behind their defense in New England, so they're 2-1. And we've got, you know, the 49ers looking good. Green Bay bounced back to their 2-1, and we see what's going on in the NFC West. Is the NFC better than you thought it was after 3 weeks?
Steve, you left out the biggest surprise in the NFC, if not football, which is Carolina.
Well, we talked about them before, but sure, Carolina, they haven't played anybody yet except for the Saints.
You know, and their defensive coordinator is doing a great job, Lee, with a very young defense. Now, you know, look, do I think they're a 12-win team? No, I do not. And as Steve said, their schedule is going to get tougher, and I think the Bucks' schedule is about to get easier, Lee. I really do. They're already favored by basically a touchdown going to Foxborough.
Really?
I think it's 6.5. 6.5, which is a lot of respect for the Bucks and not a lot of respect for New England. New England doesn't scare anybody, Lee. Their defense is okay, and their offense is not okay. It's very pedestrian. So I'm not worried about it. The Bucks are 2-1. No reason to go crying to your mama. They're right there. Carolina will come back to earth, and the Bucks just lost to a very good football team. So certainly no reason to panic. But, Lee, going forward, this defense has to make significant strides. I mean,
yes.
They're not playing well. They're just not playing well. And
on every level.
At any level. Now, Steve said special teams stunk. Well, Pinion had one terrible punt. Lee Watt. Suckup didn't do anything wrong.
Two bad punts by Pinion. He had a short one that was like 38 yards, got a 9-yard return, and in addition to the shank.
All right. And we don't expect much, Lee, out of the buck return game ever. We don't. Look, they were outplayed on special teams, but it wasn't like it was one side. I think this team's going to be fine, but I just don't like the defensive execution. I don't like the scheme right now, and Bowles is looking for answers. I'm like you, Lee. I think he'll find them.
There's right now, there's nothing to like about the defense. I know this sounds like heresy. I'm not trying to be an a-hole here, but linebackers, all four of them, not playing well. The secondary goes without saying, mostly because of the injuries. They're not looking good on defense. I don't know what it is. I don't know if collectively as a group they thought they had it in the bag this year. I don't know, but it's just weird to see a defense that played so excellently the last, all of the playoffs, played so well. And then this year, it's like they're sleepwalking. I mean, guys that you thought were going to take the next step and dominate, they almost look like they've taken a step back. It's disturbing.
Ira, I want to praise you a little bit, and I also want to smack you around. So I'll just
par for the course, Dave. Par for the course.
I know in your column, when I first read your column, and I hadn't watched the game again, and you wrote about how Mike Evans and Ross Cockrell played a hell of a game, and maybe that was it. I was like, what the hell is... I almost called you to say, Ira, you had too many beers at Big Storm? What's going on? But you know what? Upon further review and watching the game again, scrutinizing it, Cockrell actually did play pretty well. He really did. And I will give him that. And I thought that was encouraging. And I would guess they feel the same way at $1. And I think Vita Vea is playing well. But there's just too many problems otherwise. And Devin White's just doesn't look like the same guy who walked off the field last year. And hopefully they'll snap that out, Ira.
And what's weird is he looked like the best defensive player in training camp. Mike Evans was clearly the best player in training camp of the Bucks. There's no doubt. He was head and shoulders above everybody. And he's playing well. And Devin White was the best player on defense. And, it's almost like different players out there now. I don't know. Don't know if he's danged up or something. I don't know, but it's weird.
But, Ira, now time for the smack around. I almost got laughed off this podcast, Ira. I'm tempted to even pull the audio. It was that egregious. But I almost got laughed out of the podcast last week when I suggested that when the Rams are going to throw the ball left and right, here comes DeSean Jackson, and the Buccaneers have nobody to cover this guy, and he's a big X factor in this game, and you laughed me off the podcast, Ira.
I was thinking about that while I was watching the game. DeSean Jackson on that 75-yarder, I said, oh, boy, I'm going to hear about it from Isbitz. There's nothing worse, Lee, than Isbitz holding all the cards on you. There's nothing worse than that.
Well, I thought DeSean Jackson was literally done. I didn't expect him to do a damn thing in that game. So,
And, Lee, I'll say this to make it worse. I'm not sure that if Mike Evans didn't fall down, they would have covered him anyway. I mean, I think he might have scored anyway. I thought Mike Evans was out of position when he fell down. You're not going to make up a lot of ground on DeSean Jackson. I haven't heard from DeSean Jackson, Steve, in so long that I basically had forgotten about the guy. But you mentioned it, and yes, I did laugh you off the podcast, Isbitz. But I came up with Ross Cockrell yesterday, so to me, let's call it even, Steve. Let's call it even.
All right. Well, I had to throw it out there, and of course, he really was a big star of the game for the Rams. And there was one pass there when basically Carlton Davis let him get away, and the acceleration from Jackson, he was faster than Davis. It was obvious, which just on the quick explosion. So it was pretty interesting for sure, and it makes you wonder.
Steve, one more quick point, and Lee, you watch a lot of football like I do. You got to love the great route runners, Lee. There's some great route runners. And we saw one yesterday. And no, I'm not talking about Tyler Johnson. I'm talking about Cooper Kupp. Guy is smooth as silk. Amari Cooper comes to my mind, Lee. Tremendous route runner for the Cowboys. You know, Cup's not a burner. I don't think Amari Cooper is a burner. But, you know, they get in and out of their breaks very smoothly. And it's a big problem. And the Bucs have no answers for Cup, Lee. They just don't.
No, and I can't remember who it was that was Twittering me like a maniac. One of them said, if I was Todd Bowles, I would say to myself, I'll let anybody beat me, but I'm not going to get burned by Cooper Kupp again. And I never thought of it, but it made sense. Like, you know what? If you have to, put Devin White on him at the line. Don't let him get off the line. That's a fair point about Cooper Kupp. I'll just say this personally, and people get mad when I say this. And no, it's not me admitting I still haven't seen a gator in Florida, even though I've been here since 1998. There's a couple other things I say people get all wigged out about, they get wigged out when I say this. I don't know what a good route runner is. Bottom of my heart, honestly, I don't know what a good route runner is. For example, I always hear guys on TV, oh, this guy ran a good route. This guy ran a good route. I'm like, how would you know? Unless you're in the huddle, how would you know? And I asked a wide receiver once, I won't mention his name, NFL wide receiver. And so I got to ask you a question, and this may sound stupid, but I got to ask you this. But yeah, what's up? I told him what I just said. You know, all these guys, oh, this guy runs a great route, that guy runs a great route. I said, unless you know what route he's running, how do you know? The guy broke out in a huge smile. He nodded his head. He goes, they don't.
Well, that's the kind of answer you're going to get from Michael Clayton over there at the Kemper.
I remember watching a Bill Walsh documentary on NFL Network, and Steve Young was talking about various pass routes. The minutiae was incredible. Walsh had these guys making cuts and stuff like this, not every yard and not every foot, certain inches, like 6 inches from this, and it was like unbelievable. And like, there's no way I can know if a guy's running a good route or not unless they actually told me.
Well, Steve, I'm using my judgment in this respect, turning around the defender, you know, getting the defender off balance, messing up the defensive back with feints, like you're going one way and then you go the other way. You know, he's right, you don't know the route, but I'm talking about in terms of the reaction of the defensive back.
Okay,
that's what I'm talking about.
Elusiveness.
Two more quick nuggets, Sage, then I'm getting you out of here. So before we get to those two nuggets, I will thank FloridasEliteRestoration.com. As we heard before, plumbers, air conditioning contractors, property managers, call Florida's Elite Restoration today. FloridasEliteRestoration.com owner Josh Martin will let you know what he can do for you. If you're not referring to any restoration companies now, they'll give you an honest assessment of what they can do for you and how they help customers all over the Bay Area. And Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The Sage is at Big Storm Clearwater for every Bucks road game. Next one on Sunday. And Bill Curry Ford, you know them, 61 years, Tampa tradition, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, Donovan Smith, Joe Tryon was chatting on the Buccaneers radio network, and he hit on all kinds of subjects. And one thing he mentioned, he was sort of asked about mentors that he has within the Bucs. He talked about JPP and how valuable his information is and his energy and how enthusiastic he is to help. But he went to Donovan Smith, and he said that Smith's been helping him on the plane after games and in games, talking about what he's seeing and really getting into detail and telling Tryon things he should focus on in the sense of, hey, on this play, that was the exact style you should be looking to repeat and make sure you look at it on film and think about it because that was excellent and here's why. And Donovan Smith, as a mentor for Joe Tryon, your thoughts?
You know, Lee, I think Donovan Smith has settled in very, very well as a Buccaneer. I got to give him credit. I think he used to have some rabbit ears. Lee, he used to be sensitive, maybe a little thin-skinned to criticism. The first thing that needs to be said is he's playing well, Lee, and he has for a while. Now, look, I'm the first one to say that game, that second game against New Orleans last year, was a disaster. You know, he was awful. Trey Hendrickson schooled him. Hendrickson's a nice player. But Lee, down the stretch, Donovan Smith was a rock. And as far as settling is a Buck, Lee, I think he's matured very well, and I think he's a very good teammate, Donovan Smith. He seems to be very happy at one Buck place. Why shouldn't he be? He does a good job protecting Brady's blind side. I don't think they give him an inordinate amount of help. Lee Gronkowski's almost always next to Tristan Wirfs. He's very rarely operating next to Donovan Smith, so you can't say Gronkowski is helping him on pass blocking. And I think he's a big part of the community, so I don't know. I got to give Donovan Smith a lot of credit.
This is going to cause untold wrecks when I say this. And even Ira, you may drop your phone when I say this. This is the Godster chairless effect.
You better explain that in a hurry, DeKemper.
I will definitely explain it. When the Bucks brought in Godster chairless after DeMar Dotson got hurt that one training camp,
right?
Chairless took those guys under his wing. He was like their big brother. Both Ellie Marpet and Donovan Smith told me stories. One of the many things Godster chairless would do, he would go up to him after practice, and he'd ask, whether it was Donovan Smith or he'd ask Ellie Marpet, whoever he's talking to, he would ask him, like, what should you be doing on X situation? And then before they could answer, he said, think about that tonight. Come back with me tomorrow with an answer. And they do stuff like that all the time to help them out, to be like an auxiliary coach of some sort. Fast forward a couple of years, Alex Kappa was telling me, Donovan Smith was going up to him and said, hey, I want you to know, I want to know what you're supposed to do in this situation. Come back tomorrow and tell me. Exactly what Donovan Smith said Godster chairless would do with him. And this is what Godster chairless effect. Even though Godster chairless was a surly guy, even though he was at the end of his career, even though against the Cowboys, he nearly got Jameis named on Sunday Night Football, he was an excellent teammate. And this was an example. And Donovan Smith is doing, he did with Alex Kappa, he's doing with Joe Tryon what Godster chairless did with him. This is the Godster chairless effect. And that's a damn good teammate.
Ira,
you got to think he did it with Tristan Wirfs too last year, Lee.
Ira, I'm going to save the last nugget because that was just a tearjerker for me. Ira, I'll save it for the next podcast because it got me thinking of how you used to mentor Roy Cummings, and it was just really brought a lot of emotion back up, Ira. So I will say goodbye, Sage. Have a good one. Dine well, relax, and we'll be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford for episode 2 of this week.